Call this Finance Committee meeting to order. Roll call. Assemblymember Orion Hansen.
Present.
Assemblymember Reba Hilton.
Here.
And Assemblymember the treasurer and the manager. And moving on to unfinished business. 4A, review of ordinance number 22-10, increase in sales tax rate 6% during the second and third quarters, and directing the borough clerk to place a proposition on a special election ballot for ratification. So, Ryan?
I guess this is for the treasurer. Before we really get in the meat of this, does this change any of the exemptions that are currently exempt from sales tax?
As far as the ordinance is written?
Mm-hmm. Particularly the rate of general sales tax. I mean, the way I read that basically says anything other than short-term rental tax is taxed. But you know, when we do our sales tax reports, services such as construction are exempt, and there are other exemptions as well. And I'm just reading this ordinance. It doesn't say that, but I'm wondering if that's a conflict.
It's saying that the tax rate is going to be 6% on all taxable transactions.
So what is a taxable transaction defined somewhere else?
Anything that's not exempt.
So the exemptions that are on the books now stay on the books. That's
nothing's
changing. Okay. I just wanted to clarify
It's just segregating that this tax rate is different than our short-term rental tax rate and what's taxable on that tax rate.
That's the hotel tax, just 8%. Is that right? Thank you.
Reba? Did you have anything?
The only thing I'd like to do is hear from the manager. Again, we've talked privately about this, about the need to supplement the general fund more.
Yeah, I think we all know that we have a lot of infrastructure and operational needs when we're going to host, 1 to 1.3 million people, and we have to increase our services, and somehow we have to pay for those. And yeah, we can rely on the fact that there's more sales and sales tax revenues go up, but at some point we have to look at a bigger base for that. And I think that's what this represents. I mean, are we going to have full-time firefighters that are ready to respond in EMS? We need them. We had instances last year that highlighted that, and we're building those services up. We carry full-time, four police officers. We have roads in need upgraded. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I could list them all. But the reality is, when you bring that many people to town, you're building services that, are in par or on par with, tens of thousands of people as opposed to 1,000 people. So what do we do with that? There has to be a base to support it. And sales tax, in my opinion, is one of the better ways, because the users that we are building the infrastructure and the services for are paying for it. Whether that's a cruise ship passenger, an RVer, or somebody that boats over in the summertime from Juneau or Haines, they're the ones that are here. They pay for the need for the garbage. I mean, the incinerator costs, it just keeps going up. I was not happy to see the cost estimates today from the transfer station, but things just keep going up. What are we going to do to offset these needs and pay for them?
So with everything that Manager Ryan just said, generally the cost of business is a lot higher now. We have an extensive list of capital projects, and then we always have the unexpected things that are happening that we're consistently having to revisit and revise the budget accordingly, like the seawall. That's going to be a huge expense. So I support this as is. Supplementing our general fund is the way I look at it. And I would even go up to 6.5%. I won't bring that to the table, but I would support that as well.
Ryan?
Do you think if we changed the or added to the question, because the question as it's currently written, shall the rate of sales tax collected upon sales made and services rendered in Skagway be increased from 5% to 6% during the second and third quarters each calendar year, April through September? Perhaps we said effectively what you just described and say, shall the rate of sales tax collected upon sales made and services rendered in Skagway be increased from 5% to 6% to meet rising infrastructure demands during the second and third quarter of each calendar year, April through September? And I think when I requested this to come to finance, it was because the mayor had thought well stated that usually when you ask for a sales tax change increase, there's a reason behind it. My understanding from the clerk is that originally there wasn't, and that's how Assemblyman Henry wrote it, because it just was a sales tax. But maybe that clarification would be a little better to describe why we're bringing this to the voters. I don't know. That's a thought. I mean, something generic, just, you know, and I don't, that those words were off the top of my head, but it might help.
Manager Ryan?
I would add operational and infrastructure demands. I mean, there are a lot of requests for increased services, you know, continually. And I don't see that going away. I see it going up. And I mean, I'm hopeful it goes up, because that means we've got more people here and more of an economy.
How many new positions have we created in the last 12 months, or expect to create as well? Because I know the fire department's going to get quite a few, assuming that we could employ people in those positions as well, including the empty positions.
In last time.
The year, or this expecting year. It's going to be close to a dozen, right?
Yeah.
I would say we're in the 10 range.
Yeah.
We can build them all. And yeah, I mean, considering, you know, we've got fleet mechanics now, and we really need another facilities person on board that we haven't hired yet again. And like, it just keeps going, right? Like,
yep.
We're building new facilities, new maintenance. And one of the things I will say to, you know, you mentioned the harbor wall, that the breakwater being a problem. One of the things that we've changed since I've been here is we're trying to put on-site inspectors on projects all the time. And yes, there's enough front expense with that. And, you know, another reason to build, you know, another increased expense with that, but that is to hopefully avoid something that happens down there, like has happened now, you know, and avoid problems. So we've already hit with the school kitchen. The inspector has paid his wage over and over again. He's done a really good job, and we want to keep doing that on projects. And we don't have enough staff to chase all the projects that are coming our way.
All right.
So if we changed just the wording here, or added, not change, but add to the wording, shall the rate of sales tax collected upon sales made and services rendered in Skagway be increased from 5% to 6% for operational and infrastructure demands during the second and third quarter of each year, April through September? Does that seem like that's
for increased operational and infrastructure
demands?
Yep. Heather?
I just want to point out that the discussion on general fund, this ordinance in conjunction with the ordinance draft that was at last finance didn't come back forward, changing the amount that's allowable transferred into the general fund at 6.5 mils. Those in conjunction will increase the transfer that we can do into the general fund. This alone will not allow any more sales tax into the general fund.
Right. And that didn't make it back onto this one, because I talked to Manager Ryan and I hadn't gotten back to talk to you about the wordage of if we were going to change that or not. And after discussing it, we might drop a word off of it. But other than that, it'll just be a change in the numbers because it does leave better lack of, for a better term, options or, you know, variables to where you can use, flexibility on the, on how you can use it. So yeah, that will be coming back to the next finance meeting. Although, side note, I'm probably going to be in North Dakota at the next finance meeting, but it shouldn't be too terribly difficult to call in. But yeah, and that's what we had discussed and it's going to get brought forward, but that's just a, that is a code or code change. So, but it'll be done way before this would be done.
Well, I think it's important to change the wording, what you guys just did on your motion to change, update the wording to cover operations and infrastructure, because that's what's going on the proposition. Right. And that's what this ordinance is about. But with the intent that you're going to revisit the other ordinance with amount that can be transferred, I just wanted to clarify that.
And would that be a fair, I know it hasn't changed in a long time, and it changed from, I think it was 1 to, or maybe even 2 to 4.5, and now looking at 4.5 to 6, would that be, speaking to the treasurer, would that be a good enough number, or 7 mils, or?
I think what your draft was appropriate.
Okay. All right. And also, as far as the wording, I talked to the clerk and others about this and about how it comes forward. This is, as we had discussed, kind of the bare bones of it. And then the resolution that is actually calling for the special election or to have it on the ballot, that gets more whereases and all that. But I'm all for the clarification on this. I mean, that's pretty much spelling out exactly what it's for. So anyone else? All right.
Move we recommend the to the assembly that we amend the ballot question to add in the words after 5% to 6%, so that it'll say, shall the rate of sales tax collected upon sales made and services rendered in Skagway be increased from 5 to 6% for operational and infrastructure demands.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. All right, moving on. 4B, review of resolution 22-39R, committing port fund revenue to serve as matching funds for a FEMA Building Resilient Infrastructure Community BRIC grant. All right.
I would recommend you look on the assembly agenda because staff and I and the attorney have worked this thing over with consensus from the cruise lines, every word, every bit of it. So if you look on the assemblies, a Dropbox, it's quite a bit different. And I would have to say that I think manipulating at this point, there's been a lot of input from the cruise lines to agree to this 5%. The sunset language, if that's not in there, I don't think they will sign off on this. There's been their lawyers have looked this over, and I mean, there could be some punctuation or something minor grammatical, but I think if you're talking about changing anything, you know, significant out of what the amendments before the assembly for tomorrow night, I don't know if the cruise lines follow it or are gonna sign off on it. I'd say there's been 4 drafts that have gone through City Hall in the last, I mean, definitely in the last 10 days, I'd say.
Reba?
I like it. It's kind of a win-win. I like that it covers all the docks because, I mean, one ship could easily go to another. So I think we should do it as is. The only thing that I would like to consider that we change is in the fifth, whereas, if you're on the proposed amendment one, including the red ones down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it says, and critical port infrastructure from rock slides and other natural disasters are anticipated to place a significant cost burden. Instead of significant, I would like it to, we could change it to unbearable cost burden, just to make a stronger statement, because there's no way that we can pay for this without help. And I think that's an important statement, and words are important. Thoughts?
No problem with that.
Yeah, just a little bit more emotion behind it.
Yep.
Yep.
You got that change, Jay?
Yeah, I'm going to do all my homework tonight. That way I don't forget stuff.
That was the only thing you could tell a lot of work went into this. It's great.
And it was unbearable for significant.
Yes, correct.
Move, we recommend to the assembly with Reba's change for consideration tomorrow night.
Second.
Motion and a second to recommend to assembly approval of the BRIC grant with Reba's amendment to assembly. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Moving on.
Is this in our packet?
Well, no, this was the same thing from the last two meetings. I'm just leaving that on there because I know that eventually an amendment is coming, and then that way it's just going to be covered.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
thanks.
It's just a placeholder that is going to live there until we need to use it. That way we don't have to amend it if it comes in the day before. So, okay. That was 4C, 5A. Review of Minto proposal for port terminal. Manager Ryan.
I really need some direction on this. You know, we have Minto reaching out. They want to bring ore through the Port of Skagway after the March 19th deadline. It's not clear to me what the will of the assembly is. If you do the math, essentially, you know, if you're looking financially, 10,000 tons a ship or whatever, you know, it might be. I'm not sure, but let's say it's 10,000 tons. That's, according to our tariff document, around $200,000. And so that's, there's, you know, a financial incentive, I guess, for us to do that. However, that means we also have to get an operator down there. So it's certainly not $200 clear and free. And then the bigger question for me is, you know, since I have been here, we've spent a lot of time talking about how bad this ore loader is and, you know, how antiquated it is. So what do we want to sign on to? Do we want to operate it and sign on to using an ore loader that we spend a lot of time bad-mouthing, essentially? I don't know the answer to that. That's a question, I think, that has to be discussed and decided by the assembly or the committee, right? We have not been in this business yet. We want to go there, and obviously we want to upgrade, and we've talked about going containerized rotainer systems. We've talked about new ore loaders that are, you know, more environmentally friendly. I don't know the answer. I need some direction from the assembly at a very minimum.
Right.
Who would operate it?
That's the thing. I think we would have to go out to RFP for someone to operate it. We're not going to be able to quickly turn around and hire up staff to do that. And I really don't want to, right? I don't think that's our long-term goal. It's never been my long-term goal to hire staff to operate and loft load, or I've always thought that we would go out for contract and RFP. I hadn't really been in the game of, we're going to do this before we upgrade the facility. Now that question is on the table. We have to decide, are we willing to go down, go out to RFP, get somebody to operate it, and then sign on to anything that is associated with that? Or is this something that we don't want to operate until we upgrade that facility? It's, you know, that's a big question to be asked.
So it'd be, it's four dates as I see here, potentially three dates. I mean, they're saying April 10th, July 29th, September 21st and 22nd, November 15th, I think it's too late. Yeah, and I think it needs to come down by then.
I guess I should be careful on that. I see three potential dates, but I'm not really sure the September date is even viable, right? Because we haven't, you know, as we finish up these designs, the sooner we can get into that ore loader and start taking it down and remediating it, the better, right? And right. So it may be something where we want to do, you know, allow earlier access than even that September date. One of the things that makes me really nervous is we put ore in there. If we did put ore in there, we got to make sure it gets out of there, right? And the last thing, you know, it would be terrible to think about putting 10,000 tons of ore in there and have an ore ship not show. And October comes around and we're taking the ore loader down October 1st, September 15th, whatever it may be. And we're sitting on 10,000 tons of ore for some reason. That would be, we'd have to have a lot of controls for sure. So is it three dates? You know, I would say at best, if we were going to do it, it's three dates. It may only be two. I'd be pretty darn nervous about that September, that September one.
It would be a good gesture to the Yukon. It, you know, we're trying to be good neighbors, good partners, you know, going forward. There's a lot of unknowns in what they're proposing here. And I mean, I think they're hoping to get in position to where, you know, Skagway remains their ore export terminal. And I think that's in our long-term plans of having a multi-use facility at the ore terminal. I agree. I don't think we should have, other than managing a contract, staff having anything to do with this. You know, I support doing it just because if the ore loader is staying, I think it's a good gesture, you know, for, and, you know, there is some monetary value to it. And this, I'm assuming, would be in our tariff document that we've passed. So whatever this is our new tariff document, passed March of 23. The, you know, nuts and bolts of who's actually loading it, we have to figure, I guess that has to be put out to bid to see who would manage two to three ore ships. How much of a risk is, you know, the ore ship not showing up? I mean, it seems like when they're coming to Southeast Alaska, they're coming and hitting all the places up and down the West Coast, as far as I understand what Sumitomo does, but.
I guess I can't tell you exactly that. I can only tell you my experience and on kind of the periphery of it. And, you know, we'll hear an ore ship is coming and then they won't come because they went off to somewhere else. And, you know, that it was only a week or something delay, but I don't know the answer to that. I think one of the big concerns I have, and this is, you know, one of the frustrations we've had since I've been here, is we still don't have a baseline of what is down there in the basin, right? So when we do this, I feel like we're signing on to an unknown pollution level or contamination level because we don't have that baseline under the ore loader. And I worry about the position it puts us in, right? We haven't torn the ore loader out. We haven't started pulling rocks to look at that. We don't have a baseline for what contamination level is under there. And if we're signing on to something else, copper or whatever the case may be. So I get really nervous about it without a baseline. And it's hard to think about getting that done quickly and affordably, but it's not that it's not possible. We just need to think about it. I mean, we have some drilling in the, you know, core samples in the current project up where we want to dredge, you know, in the north part of the basin. Maybe that could be added, but, you know, part of the problem is really it's getting in there and starting to pull those those larger riprap rocks and sample under where the ore loader is at is cumbersome and expensive. So,
all right,
is it something where we could, in an RFP, have monitoring to closely watch, you know, that the ship loader isn't leaking? You know, I mean, I think that's what we're worried about, that we're causing contamination, that then going forward, you know, we've signed on to the contamination that, you know, we didn't cause and now we're causing. Is it something we could have that part of the RFP that there's close monitoring going on, that's, you know, maybe not, we're not maybe sampling the whole prism of what's in the, I always mess this word up, the barometric basin, but it's something where we've got, that's part of it, is that in addition to loading the ore, you know, you're going to have to, you know, have cameras and somebody out there watching the whole time, kind of the way, I guess, you know, fuel happens. I don't know the protocols for loading out ore, but I think maybe we could make that language a little stronger.
Well, wouldn't an RFP involve indemnification of municipality? Not, I mean, if you really want to step back and look at it, we're already cleaning up the first 15 million. So whether they did it, whether it's there, whether we spill some more, it's us cleaning it up anyway. So, and we're going to clean it up as soon as the chip loader comes out. I've heard from Mr. Hun saying that that chip loader is in great condition. I'm sure he would sign on to an RFP and get my son down there running it. Oh, wait, conflict of interest. I'm going to have to go ahead and recuse myself. He didn't work there anymore. But yeah, speaking to all those points, I could see we don't know about the September 1. I mean, to say with available space, they could load out the up till July, September, say, yeah, either July or September. And then if everything's still, I mean, if we get somebody contracted to start ripping things apart in September, then you can't load out stuff. But if we're going to start our project in December, then go forward with it. But I mean, that would be a little bit wordier. But all you're looking for is just whether or not we want to go forward with.
Yeah, my first question is, you know, we've spent a lot of time saying take the ore loader down, right? Do we now, you know, with some controls or whatever it may be, want to operate it a couple of times before we take it down? And you know, that's really the first discussion I want to hear. Is that where we're at? You know, or are we not there? You know, and then there is all the other questions. You know, at $200,000 a loadout, let's say, is it even financially viable for us by the time we get someone on board and do the monitoring? I don't know. You know, that we haven't explored that. And to what level do we want to do monitoring? I know Minto is, I think they might have sent it to us, but they're going to, you know, they did some air monitoring around one of their loadouts. So we could look at that one to start with and see if we liked it or didn't like it. You know, what do we want to do this, and are we doing it because it financially benefits the municipality, or is it because we're doing it as a gesture to the Yukon? What is it and why? But I think it deserves a discussion before I start sending out, you know, I had no intent of sending out an RFP to get somebody to manage the current ore facility in the state. It is, it's never been on my radar. I mean, we certainly talked about it often. I mean, Minto's asked for it, but it's never been something I've contemplated because I always thought we were moving immediately into taking it down and moving on. But that said, now here we sit with an opportunity to do it. And now, you know, we'll have to decide how we're going to do that. One of the things I don't know is, you know, what are the controls, you know, OSHA controls that we'll have to put in play. And we'll have to be careful of that from a municipality standpoint as well.
All right.
This might be a U.S. Canadian thing, but what is the tender process to take over the lease from ADA? What do they mean by tender? That must be a Canadian legal term.
Tender for like going out to bid. They seem to use tender. There's a few sets of terminology that are just a little different.
Yeah. Know, so. Okay. I would support, having an RFP for monetary gain, but I think because our long-term goals are that we continue to export minerals from the Yukon and to be a good neighbor and to be an engaged partner in that plan going forward, I would support doing this as long as it's not interfering with, say in September, with the process of getting the whole dock rebuilt. So, their dates, I don't know if that September date, as you said, will work. If it was beginning of September, maybe. If it fits in with the cruise ships, I know that's a busy time too.
Our last four, on paper anyways, four cruise ship day is the 20th. So, I mean, work could start as early as that.
Good. I would say it could start earlier.
Even earlier.
Yeah, you got to remember, like even now, like, when we were thinking about the alternative mooring plan, the idea was to get people in there right away. You don't have to be on the outside, but get in there. Because a lot of the controlled or the worrisome materials in there, like caulking and things like that on the inside, that will have to be taken out and remediated, right? Essentially PCBs. Those could be happening without really anybody knowing about it on the cruise lines. We could be doing that September 1st. Cruise ships don't need, cruise ship passengers aren't even going to know that some guy is inside the oar loader crawling around, picking out caulking with his pocket knife or whatever it may be. So I think we can start earlier. I would suggest like September 1st at the latest. Yeah, the latest.
So you're looking for, but this is on the assembly agenda tomorrow, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just, I had him put this on the finance agenda because it did involve money, the tariffs and possibly an RFP. But I didn't think that we would be, other than just moving it forward and that a committee had looked at it beforehand.
Yeah, my thought is like have an assembly discussion, decide where your appetite's at, and then I would appreciate it to go to committee and come up with a list of questions that we want to ask, right? Like, what does it mean to sign on to doing this, And let's get those answered before we put out the RFP. Let's do a little bit of research. But if there's no appetite to do it, then I'm not going to start down that road with staff. If there is an appetite to do that, then let's develop that list of questions that we're interested in, try to get educated about it before we go out to RFP, and then and then all of a sudden learn, that was a question we should have asked before we put the RFP out. Like, I'd like to get as much information as we can if there's an appetite, but I don't want to go down that road if there is not. I will say, hopefully ADA will be down here in January. They've promised us they'll come down and walk the site with us. I hope that's true, and I hope there's some insight that comes from that as well.
What committee would you?
Ports and Harbor? Yeah, Ports and Harbor.
So you're basically looking for us to recommend to assembly after review, recommend to assembly to send this to a committee for further review, possibly Ports and Harbor.
Can you state that? What you need me to say again?
move that we recommend to assembly to. No, let me look at it in here. After review, recommend to assembly to send the proposal to a committee, possibly for further review, possibly Ports and Harbor. I'm just going to do it. I move.
There we go. That's a little cleaner.
Second.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like Yoda. He puts the I move at the end. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Review of Clinic Interim Executive Director Contract Amendment.
I'll go ahead and start on this one, okay. Since I'm on the clinic board and we just had a planning meeting where we discussed this. This is the recommendation coming from the board itself. I hesitate to sign on to it for 3 months. I like the idea of visiting it monthly. Doesn't mean he won't be here or this position won't be vacant. I mean, we can do it month by month. That's fine. It's really not that much more work. My biggest fear is that 3 months every single time, and then we're into a year and we do need to facilitate getting a permanent, not an interim in that position. And I think maybe month to month might be a strong enough statement that's showing our priority in doing that. So I would like to amend, I move to amend this contract to do it monthly instead of the 3 months term that they are a request that the clinic board requested.
Second and discussion.
So it's been 5 months so far, if I'm counting correctly, August 25th to almost 5 months. Do we have a plan B?
Almost 4 months.
September, at Christmas, October, November,
August.
Well, the plan B.
Almost 4 months.
The plan B that has been talked about and is still being discussed and will be on the board meeting, I believe, December 22nd, is to hire an outside firm, whether that be Coors, which is on the table, or a different firm to actually look for a permanent executive director for that position. That's kind of like a plan that the clinic board is bringing up. They have yet to vote on it, though, or we have yet to vote on that.
I guess just to talk about the elephant in the room, I mean, we certainly have had long discussions with search. I don't know what's happened with that. I'd have seen the petition circling that would make it a ballot question, which seems like that will take quite a bit of time. If there, in fact, were enough signatures on there, it seemed like it was pretty close to the threshold, if not there. To trigger an automatic community-wide vote. And someday we've got to deal with that rather than paying someone $1,400 a day, who's, I think, in fairness, stabilized the clinic. I mean, from what I hear and what I see, but at a unsustainable cost. This is not something we can do, as Reba said, for a year. That's going through the roof in terms of executive costs for a department. Take that back, a department, a clinic that is community owned.
Yes. Did that petition, have you heard anything about it? The petition?
I have not really been tracking the petition. I think they have the signatures. I don't know. You know, Steve handles that, so I haven't talked to him about it recently, but yeah, I'm not sure where it's at.
The last I'd heard, it got turned in, but it was being reviewed or yeah, I guess counting signatures and seeing that they're all
right
people from Skagway.
People who are registered voters, because we have to have 25% of registered voters or people who actually voted. I can't remember how it was phrased.
The last election.
You had to vote in it?
25% of
the number,
the amount that voted in the last election.
I see. Okay.
So that
it seemed pretty close. It seemed like they were there to me when I looked at it, you know, just the rough numbers. It was 160 something, and I thought they had gotten there. So, I mean, I don't see that this being resolved in the next 3 months. Personally, I don't know that we're going to be changing courses that quick, but I agree. I don't like the, from a finance standpoint, $1,400 a day is unsustainable for our finances.
And it's more than that. I mean, it's the per diem. It's, you know, it's everything else that comes on top of that. I think $1,400 is a little bit misleading. That's just the salary. Then you also have the Coors fund on top of that as well, which is, yeah, $98,000 a year. So we break that up and, you know, to 3 months. And what does that come out to? It's a lot more than $1,400 a day.
Heather?
Within that term section, it states that if an executive director is hired within this term, contract shall terminate. So if you don't want the 3 months, then what's the alternative? Like I feel like that caveat in that term eliminates the contract as soon as we hire that full-time position.
Correct. I understand that. And I read that, but I just don't like the idea of it's, we're going to revisit this every 3 months. I want to revisit this. I want to keep this on the table. I want the public to know how much we are spending there and keep it fresh in everybody's mind monthly.
He put a motion, or she put a motion. I seconded it, and we were discussing it.
I'll just say, I mean, it's so if you go for a month, we'll just bring it back again if nothing's happened, and you'll discuss it again. It's not unduly burdensome to put together. Okay, we're just moving the dates at this point. So if that's what you want to do, I don't have any issue with it. Whatever you want.
And there's a clause in there that says it ends. We could make it 3 years and it still ends as soon as we get a director. We'd be out of money, but it would end.
I think with that clause, I'm okay with it as it's written. I mean, I get your concerns that it seems like this is just sort of a perpetual stopgap. But it does seem as though the clinic is performing as we need it to right now, and that is a great relief, I think, to everybody. So I without hearing the clinic board having something imminent to present or, you know, interviews or whatever, I think I would support it as is. Since it has that clause, as our treasurer just pointed out.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Nay. All right. Back to
kind of a tomato tomato.
Yeah. I did. Oh, you mean join the clinic board? Really? Wouldn't there be a quorum on the SAM? Oh, it is noticed in the public. That's true. That is very true. I'll have to think about that. That'd be another $50 a meeting. Further discussion about the review of the clinic interim executive director contract? Motion or?
I think we just voted on it,
didn't we? We just voted on not changing it.
Okay.
Yeah, we were just talking about
that. Okay. I move we recommend to the assembly the amendment to the Thomas Steiner and Dahl Memorial Clinic interim executive director employment agreement as written.
Second. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
All right. Moving on. We will recommend that to the assembly with a 2-1. Review of tour broker contract amendment. Do you have anything about Andrew Ryan?
So this is the tour broker contract. We had an appraisal done. Really has been no objections from M&M on this. They're in favor of it. They're the only ones down there that are not giving me injections on paying market rent. So I'm happy. I think it's important to look at and understand. I hope it's understandable, but in essence, we're not comfortable, we staff, putting them in their M&M building, right? Until the rock slide is completely mitigated or we have some security there. So if you look down at the contract, there's a line for buildings and the square foot that they would occupy, and then he would be paying 8% of the square footage that they would sit on. We did not build the buildings. We don't intend to build the buildings. And the reason it's kind of, you see three locations there is in case we end up with the alternative tendering plan where we're going through the small boat harbor and we get the, and we're trying to capture them over there by the Ferry Peninsula. That would be another building. And so it's open because we're not sure what the plan is for 2023 as far as tendering goes. So that way we can fill this in and charge the appropriate rate. It's also, I think it's worth noting that we're at $19 a square foot. And that's significant in because of all the previous discussions with the lease and why passing the value down there. And I think we're getting to where we're charging an appropriate amount for land down there. And this is a Horan appraisal, but they're all coming around and coming in with similar numbers. So with that, to me, it's an upland lease and we've gone through the process and this is the one that has worked as it should from my perspective.
All right.
So just so I understand, the lease amount of being $13,800 may change due to their main building on the railroad dock not being it being in the slide zone, that they may be in a smaller square footage spot, most likely if it's somewhere else on the seawalk or somewhere else within the port that they can't utilize such a big area.
Right.
More or less.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. It's not a locked in amount because we're not sure how big the what I call the wheelie carts that he will build. And we talked through it in my office about whether we would build the cart for them to work out of and then have it appraised and then charge him the appraised amount or he would build them. I did not want to have an appraiser tell me the market rent of a wheeled cart. I mean, by the time I got the appraiser to tell me that, I probably would not recoup the cost of building it for a long time. And it just didn't seem like a good direction to go. So he will build them. And that way also, when we're done and he can go back to the building, then we move to that $13,000 mark and move on.
And Ryan, do you recall what the rate was per square foot before it was appraised? I'm just curious.
It depends on what you're talking about, I suppose. You mean dirt?
Well, what's the difference in the contract price?
Oh, I don't know. I would have to go back and look. I don't recall, but it's not as the square foot is really related to the cart sitting on the ground. There was also the appraised market rent of the building. I know it went up, but off the top of my head, I don't remember. I only highlighted the $19 a square foot because there has been so much talk, you know, with the whole White Pass lease negotiations of what the port is valued at. And, you know, we've been in that, you know, really low rate because of the lack of fill and all that. But then we started to move into real values, $15 a square foot. And now we're at 19, at least for the Seawalk.
Thank you. Well, before I was appraised at $3,000 per year. Yeah.
That's not us.
Yeah. Thanks. I know I read it somewhere.
All right.
I move we recommend to the assembly the contract for the tour broker contract with M&M Tours.
Second.
Motion and a second to recommend to assembly the contract amendment is okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oh, I did have one thought. Is the 5-year term comparable with what you're going with down there? And the reason I ask is because things can change down there in the next year or two or three, as even to where they're going to be. I mean, in 5 years, they might end up, or 3 years, they might end up somewhere over by the ferry terminal. Or
well, that's a good question. I think the 5 years is a settling number for me. Like, let's settle something out, right? Like, I mean, 1 year would just be like, oh, really? Right. Am I going to do this again? 5 years of settling, something's done, right? As far as what happens now when we go to the West, that's a different. We didn't include all of that, right? Because there are, brokerage buildings and services that we have to settle out separately. I didn't want to tie them together, right? Okay. Because this is one that we've done. We could amend it. We could be done with it. Now we have to embrace, you know, what we're going to do in the White Pass, you know, the previously held White Pass properties. And that's not done yet. And that will need to be done. And we need to work on it.
And this kind of sets the...
Yeah. Yeah. It sets the tone for where we're at on this one. How we're going to handle the next one, we have to. I know that we're in discussions about it. In fact, I think I have a meeting at 2:30 about it tomorrow with the tourism director. So we need to start talking about how we're going to handle that next issuance of a lease and contract for doing that. So yeah, it's not tied to that. So that
was the first item under finance committee discussion items. I guess we're on to discussion items. Any discussion? Orion?
Manager Ryan, where are we at with the seawall engineering contractors? I mean, I've heard things through the grapevine, but I didn't see anything in this packet. So
you did not. So the seawall obviously has some major failure issues. We're scrambling, right? Because we're worried about a south storm coming in here. And we know that there's plenty of breaks in those piles down there. We don't know why yet. But you know, what you see is not the end of the damage. You know, what's underwater is as scary as what you can see. There are, you know, several breaks. We have two contracts issued. I believe they're signed. Jay signed off on them. One is for, we have Alaska Commercial Divers who are coming up here anyway for the anode project. And this is going to put a halt on that. So we reached out to them because we also need to push them off, right? Because we're not going to go weld anodes on a dock that's falling over. So they're coming up under one contract for inspection, further inspection. We did the ROV. it's apparent that we don't just need an ROV. We need divers down there scraping mussels off and finding out what other problems are. The other contract is to actually do some welding to try to shore it up in the short term. After that, within that, we also need to cut a chunk of that, a chunk of those piles out and send it to a lab and try to figure out why it failed. You know, did it fail because it was underbuilt? Did it fail because the welds worked as the anodes? That it, there is at least one paper out there documenting that, which would be a terrible thought. I hope that's not true. Why did it fail? And at the same time, is there enough material to weld it back together down there? So those are the two contracts we have right now. We also, I don't know that we have the proposal from KPFF signed off. Jay, did we have that one to you for the actual engineering services?
I don't know. Was that the one that...
I can't remember where that one's at, but we also need a contract to KPFF. No, we don't have it yet. So there's another contract coming forward from a company called... I can't think of the name, but that company, if we sign off on it, it's about $15,000. Because my understanding, KPFF did look at the designs of the breakwater and they designed it for a 10-year wave. It's pretty disheartening if that's true, because that's what we were going to design the spud barge for 1 year, right? A 10-year wave is not okay on a 50-year facility. So we have a contract coming forward that we'll have to consider for about 15 grand to look at what a 100-year wave is. And then we'll, of course, have another contract, and my choice is KPFF. And I don't know what that's going to cost. It may come to the assembly at that point to design the breakwater to withstand a 100-year wave. So we've got a lot coming at us with this. At the same time, I think we're going to push off the anode project. It was supposed to start January 9th, I believe. And I think we're going to push them off till February at least and try to get this thing shored up and understand what we're going to do before we start welding on, you know, $300,000 worth of anodes. Got to stand it up first. I guess that's the summary of where we're at.
So the divers are coming up under 25,000, doing some temporary, try to shore it up. And then the bigger project will come back later, most likely go out to bid.
Yeah, and I think most likely go out to bid. We'll see what happens. There may be the potential to put a contract amendment on to Alaska Commercial Divers for some of the welding on a bigger one. It would still come to you guys if it was within the, you know, our legal guidelines to amend it. You know, my big concern is getting it shored up a bit so it doesn't, because right now I'm concerned that the deck is going to collapse. And so we really, really don't want that to happen. And so we're hoping that Alaska Commercial Divers will be here on the 27th. Not sure they're going to make it. It might be January 4th or 5th, but we are pushing them to be here, and they're trying to push some of their other projects off. But I tried to explain to them that we're more important than other communities, and I keep telling them that. So
it's obvious we are. From my perspective. Found the KPFF. I did not sign off on it because they didn't do their math right on the spreadsheet. On the
that's the one.
Unless they send another one, it didn't. It doesn't add up at the bottom.
Okay, yeah.
And I just thought, if I can spot that, I'm not a trained professional. But yeah, I mentioned it and. Emily said she was going to get back with them and send another one. And so, but, and yeah, the other two that I did sign off on was the divers coming up, and one was to inspect it. And then the other one was to shore it up a little bit. Was two that I signed off on. The KPFF, I haven't signed off on for the engineering or what was it?
So those just didn't make it to the bottom of items approved by manager and finance chair.
Right. Steve asked me about it, and I guess I didn't reply to him when I replied to Emily.
Okay.
So that was probably my bad. And yeah, it was too late to change it by the time that I was talking to him about it today. So.
It'll be on the next one.
Okay. Thanks.
Any further, Reba?
I'm going to be gone for the next three meetings. I plan on calling into the first two, the ones in January. I'm not sure about the February one, though. I know I will be missing that assembly meeting, that first one in February.
Okay. All right.
I will also be gone the first meeting in January. So I don't know what we want to do for finance then if we're all gone.
First meeting in January too.
I can hold.
I will not let you be, Heather. You can have it if you want to, and you can do it at 4:30 to 4:35. So what are we doing in January anyway, really? I mean, for finance.
Recovering. It's January 4th would be.
Could we just not have one? Because it's checks and stamps, and I mean, if the first.
I'm available to call in.
We could just.
Wait a minute. No one's here.
No, I think someone has to be
I'm
here.
I'm
going to
be in North Dakota seeing grandbabies.
I think somebody has to be here. I think someone has to be here, actually.
Okay. Well, that was easy. Well, yeah, that's. How about that? That's the only thing we'll leave on the agenda.
Yeah. What about the 18th?
If everybody's in agreement with that, I mean, otherwise, yeah, we would all be calling in. So
cancel. So are we going to all call into that assembly meeting? I know I won't be here the 5th either.
I haven't.
I'm just curious.
Even that I wasn't.
So did I.
You know what? I wonder. I guess it's an assembly discussion, but man, backing it up. Well, we put a gap there. But... This is the day to cancel it because who knows? Maybe I'll be talking for a special meeting. I'm not saying the fourth is fine, but so.
Yeah, I plan on calling into that one.
Oh, I'm calling into the assembly.
Okay. As long as, I think the finance is not the assembly. That's a long gap, especially considering the number of projects that we have.
That makes four of us gone, because I know Deb's gone too, just so you know, four calling in. And then Dan Henry was missing that one. That's what he had stated before. He's calling into two and then missing that one. I'm just saying, I'm not saying let's cancel by any means. I'm just letting y'all know.
We'll see. I mean,
also I'll be back the next week, but
yeah.
As long as man's in chambers for life.
Yeah.
You can't go around meeting from the phone. I once called in but wasn't allowed to be present.
Yeah, but we can change that if we want to at the meeting tomorrow. We could just say, couldn't we?
Well, I'm thinking of Monica that when she passed. I called in, but I was the last person. I didn't know. I was like, I'm calling in. And I was like, yeah, you're too late. Everybody else has already called in. So I was on the phone the whole time.
But
and I think I gave a committee report. And I don't even know if they let me in this. Like, I don't know if I was allowed to vote. I don't remember, but I was on the phone the entire time. I think I was allowed to vote. And I wasn't excused. It was an absence. But I was... There's definitely a limit for how many people are excused. So we did.
Yeah, unless we change it. I mean, it
Well, we can exclude that on the table, but we can't.
We can change anything we want to about the meeting process.
Yeah,
as long as we all vote on it.
You can call in.
Especially like
whether you're recognized or not. That's a parliamentary question.
I would think that if we arranged it tomorrow to the first meeting in January, let everybody call in if they want to, or allow six to call in or whatever. It's just when we get right up to it that it turns into it.
Yeah. Well, we for sure did that during COVID.
Yeah. So I would think that we could just suspend it for that one and we could do business.
Or it could be that it's better to have it following week.
Yeah. And then I'd be back.
Should be back, but there's no, that's the gap in the fairs. It doesn't matter if I change my plans for changing the direction.
Yeah, what about those fairies, Brad? Have you fixed that yet?
Did you hear KHNS's news story reported on it today?
No.
I just caught one glimpse of it that said AMHS has Al Marine on contract, so they to provide ferry service when this happens. So Al Marine stepped in under their contract.
Well, maybe we do now. That would be amazing.
Well, I'm not sure why I signed the contract then to get him to launch on Sunday.
Yeah, I was gonna chastise you about going over your limit.
Yeah.
So then, Jay, if it's okay, I'll be calling into the 18th one when you guys are here. I'll call in, and then I'll let you know about the February 1st one.
All right.
My last week, my family.
When is Roundup?
Oh, yeah.
Late January.
There you go.
I'm registered for the 23rd.
I don't think so.
23rd or 26th. Oh, yeah.
It is kind of fun down there, though, with the whole big crazy people. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it this year. I haven't gone to the last two, I think. But Orion's down there showing up for Skagway, getting us friendly with the Yukoners.
Snow's gonna go to either. Just guessing.
It's cool.
Yeah. So was it four can be on the phone or? The kids? It's the, I'm.
Yeah, that was the 8th.
They go back on the 9th. January is Monday the 9th. Yeah, that I got to get Jeremy back to school by the 9th. So, yeah, we're going to road trip down. So, which is all very important for the finance committee to know. Are we all done? Any other further? Nope. This meeting's adjourned.